So how do we do this? In what does this consist, this direct working on the mind itself? Now, so far, I've been using only this very general term, meditation, because this is the one that has gained currency in the West, at least in English-speaking countries. What people say in Holland, or what they say in Tahiti, or what they say in France, I'm not quite sure. But in English, at least, in England, in America, in New Zealand, we speak of a meditation. But this English word meditation doesn't correspond to any one Indian or Buddhist term. What we call meditation in English corresponds to or covers at least three rather different things. Three different ways of working directly on the mind. Three different methods of practice. Three different stages even in the development of consciousness. And for all these things, all these three things, Buddhism, like other Indian spiritual traditions, has quite separate terms. I'm not going to bother you this evening with the terms in the original languages, but in plain English, meditation comprises concentration, absorption, and insight. Concentration, absorption, and insight. Now I'm going to deal with each of these in turn, with the first at some length, with the second and third rather more briefly. And this, I hope, will give us, on the basis of our general understanding, a clearer and more concrete idea of what meditation really is. So first of all, concentration. Concentration is twofold. There's a concentration of attention, and there's a concentration of energy. And as such, concentration can be spoken of as an integration, as a unification. And this integration or unification is of two kinds. It's what I call horizontal and what I call vertical. Horizontal integration means integration of the ordinary waking consciousness within itself. In other words, integration of this consciousness, the ordinary waking consciousness, on its own level. And vertical integration means the integration of the conscious with the subconscious mind, which also involves the freeing of blocked somatic energy, as well as the tapping of deeper and ever deeper energies within the psyche. Now, horizontal integration, the horizontal integration of consciousness, of the waking consciousness, is generally known as mindfulness and recollection. And this English word recollection is rather a good one, because it means just what it says. It is a recollection. It's a collecting together of what has been scattered. And what is it that has been scattered? What has been scattered is ourselves, our conscious selves, or so-called conscious selves, scattered. And scattered means divided, divided into a number of selves, or part selves, each with its own interests, its own desires, and so on, each going or trying to go its own way. Now one uppermost, and now another. So that sometimes we hardly know who we are. We've got so many selves. There's a good self, of course, there's a bad self, perhaps there's a very bad self. There's a dutiful self, there's a disobedient self. There's the self that would like to run away from it all, and the self that would like to stay at home and be a good boy, etc. And we hardly know, very often, which of these selves is really and truly us. Because each of them is ourself, and none of them is our self. And the truth is, perhaps, that we don't really have a self at all. It hasn't yet come into existence. It hasn't yet been born. Reminds me of what one of my more sharp-tongued friends some years ago said about another friend of ours. He hasn't been born yet, he's still in the womb. And he was about 52 years of age. So the self, the overall self as it were, comes into existence only with the practice of mindfulness and recollection. When we collect all these selves together as it were. And mindfulness or recollection in Buddhist tradition is of three kinds. There's mindfulness of the body and its movement. Awareness of the body and its movement. And here you know exactly where your body is and what it is doing. There are no unmindful movements, no unaware movements. When you speak to, you are aware, you are mindful, you know what you are saying and why you are saying. You're fully alert, composed, conscious, aware. And then there's mindfulness, awareness of feeling and emotion. You know just how you're feeling. You're quite clearly conscious of your passing, your changing moods, whether you're sad or happy, pleased, displeased, anxious, afraid, joyful, excited. You just watch, you see it all, you know exactly how you are. Sometimes people don't know. Sometimes you ask someone, aren't you feeling sad? And they just have to stop and think, they don't know. It's not immediately obvious to them. And then they might say, well, yes, I do feel sad. But they hadn't been looking, they weren't aware. So, this particular practice of mindfulness of feelings and emotions consists in knowing, as it were, from instant to instant, just the way we are, as regards our feelings and our emotions. Because it doesn't mean standing back from them like a sort of spectator, looking at them in a very external, alienated way. It means feeling them, experiencing them, being with them, not cut off from them, but knowing them, being aware of them, mindful of them, and watching them all the time. And then, thirdly and lastly, there's mindfulness of thoughts. Knowing just what we are thinking, just where our own mind is from instant to instant. You know, very often the mind wanders. And for me sometimes, you know, when I give a lecture, it's very interesting to see the expressions on people's faces. Because as you look around the hall, around the audience, you can very often see exactly where their minds are. Some minds, of course, are quite clearly with you, with what you are saying, even perhaps very much with it. But others have a distant, far away look in their eyes and on their faces, and you can see that they are miles and miles away. They're not with you, but they don't know it. If you were to suddenly ask them, what are you thinking of? They probably wouldn't be able to tell you, but they might be thinking of, what the meal they've got to get ready when they get home, or what happened last week at the office, or wondering where their wife is, or whether the children are actually mischief, or about the next mortgage repayment, or about a book that they read the day before yesterday, or they might be wondering about the colour of the frock of the lady sitting in front of them. All sorts of things. And you can see these wandering thoughts passing over people's faces, just like shadows of clouds as they sit there. So this happens with most people most of the time. We're usually in an unconcentrated, uncollected, unrecollected state as regards our thoughts. So we have to practice being aware, being mindful of our thoughts, of what we are thinking from moment to moment. So if we do these things, if we practice in this way, if we practice this mindfulness and recollection, then horizontal integration is achieved. Integration on the level of the conscious mind. We're brought together as it were. A self is created. A self is born. We might say that the ordinary conscious mind becomes integrated on its own level. And when this is properly and perfectly done, we develop complete self-consciousness. become truly human.